don't believe in me, I'm gonna walk on by myself.
Hello and welcome to Walking with Purpose, a podcast where we engage in real in-depth conversations regarding social issues, current events, marriage, dating relationships, and anything that moves us. We speak our truth, we stand on our truth, as we share real life experiences, one podcast at a time. I'm Chris. I'm joined today by my co-hosts,
Santana,
Jeff.
We have three topics today that we're going to discuss. Holding parents accountable for their children's actions. We're going to talk about Matt Barnes and his behavior at his son's basketball games. And we're going to talk about Valentine's Day and all those shenanigans. Jennifer Crumbly, if you don't know who she is, you need to Google her. She is the mother of Ethan Crumbly, who killed four students at an Oxford, Michigan high school in 2021. She was found guilty of all four counts of involuntary manslaughter. I think this could set a precedent of who's responsible for a school shooting. Ethan was with his father when he purchased a 9mm handgun. And Jennifer Crumbly took her son to the range and posted photos about the trip on social media. She and her husband supposedly gave their son a semi-automatic handgun as a gift in the days prior before the shooting. Neither of them properly stored the gun because he was able to access it and take it to school. Ethan is now 17. He pleaded guilty as an adult to murder, terrorism. In December, he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Jennifer Crumbly, she's 45 years of age. She faces up to 15 years in prison, and her sentencing hearing is set for April 9th. She's been behind bars ever since her arrest. I strongly feel that this will set a legal precedent when it comes to school shootings, mass shootings, murders, and anything that involves a weapon that is improperly stored by a parent or a weapon legally registered to a parent that was used by their child to commit a crime. That's how I feel. Should parents be held accountable for their children's actions?
I think that that should be based on an individual basis. The parents were called to the school because their son had written some phrases on a math assignment about that, you know, the thoughts he was having won't stop and help me and my life is useless. So the school thought he was suicidal and called the parents as they should because they found this to be disturbing. So at that point, the parents are supposed to take that upon themselves to make decisions based on these things. Do you get help for your son or your child? You know, what is the next move? I guess they took him home and looked for a list of mental health services, right? But in the days after is when the whole purchasing a gun, like, why would you do that if you just found out your son's writing these things? So I can see where they would go after his parents for, you know, and holding them responsible for their son's actions when they didn't. I think they should have taken that a little bit more serious, and the gun situation that could that needed to be put on hold. That should have been on the back burner. And then I think the mom, she really wasn't resentful for her missteps before he did this, before he killed these people. And I think that's kind of what helped contribute to them finding her guilty. She wasn't regretful about anything she did prior to the incident happening. And that's sad. That's really sad. So it says a lot about them as parents with their son. So I get it. But like I said, I feel like it's going to have to be an individual thing. I don't think that sometimes, you know, I mean, kids are going to be kids. Kids will do things behind your back and you won't even know it. I know I did my share of things. I wasn't taking guns to school, but I did my own stuff as a child, as a teenager. behind my mom's back that she never knew about. So those things are possible. But if you're given this information from a school and you don't do anything about it, and then you're over here basically contributing to his delinquencies and and whatever mental health issues he's having, you're not doing anything about it. You need to be held responsible for those actions or non-actions on your part as a parent.
I looked a little deeper into it. You know, the school did the right thing by bringing the parents in, because sometimes schools can mistakenly let things slide and not really, you know, take things serious. I think that's becoming more and more prevalent in school districts across the country, that kids are coming with all kinds of different situations. When you dig deeper, there was a bigger issue, and I think it was one of the big things on her being prosecuted. And that was when they put a guy she was having an affair with on the stand. When she put him on the stand, and then it kind of came out that there might have been other affairs that came out on the stand, then alludes to the fact that we don't know what was going on at home. Was mom and dad still living together at the time, or was there, you know, some arguing and all kinds of things going on in the house? And then, you know, the mom having extramarital affair, how did that affect the kid? And so you could see the kid going to school and saying, hey, my life doesn't mean anything, because he probably knows that it has definitely divided the family. Whether that gives the kid the right to go and do that, we know it doesn't. But now this kid is discombobulated. School isn't the most important thing if you know that mom and dad might not be together. And now you maybe then found out, or might even know, who your mom has been with. Did they even think about getting the son, getting him, you know, the help before, when all this stuff was going on with the family, knowing that it might affect him being a young teenager? So I think they probably took all that into effect. And then with them purchasing the gun, you know, and doing what they did after the kids being called, I think it goes back to what you said, Santana. It is an individual situation. I think it is a light bulb for parents across the nation, because in the educator, there are parents that are turning an eye to their kids being involved in all kinds of stuff. Schools letting them know, and they're not doing stuff about it, which means it could result in kids being hurt at the school, or people getting hurt at the school because a kid is so distraught and dealing with so much inner stuff that he hasn't gotten any help. And a lot of parents are turning their eyes to it. In this case, that's what it looked like for those parents. Mm-hmm. They turned their eye to it.
Blind eye.
And then when you hear stuff like, well, I had to go to work. And then you find out that you could have took off work to make sure your kid got in the facility. And then you try to use that as a way of saying, like, you know, you couldn't get enough help for your son right away. That's not the case. Most school districts are tied into mental health situations where they can get you a referral probably quicker than you think, especially now with the heightened suicidal ideology going on in the country. They're going to get you that help quick. So I don't think that wasn't their priority. But if you go back and think about affairs and stuff like that, we know where the priority was at. And I think that might have had a lot to do with just reading and seeing who was on trial and who was brought. I think that has something to do with it.
They haven't prosecuted the dad.
He's up next.
Yeah, he's up next, right? So that's going to be interesting to see how they deal with him and what, you know, part he played or whatever. And I mean, buying the gun, obviously, but I mean, just the other stuff.
Yeah, purchasing the gun and improperly storing the gun, taking the kid to the shooting range. In my eyes, you're totally responsible. You should be held accountable for what he done. You put a lot of things in motion. Purchasing the gun, he's there when you purchase the gun. Pretty sure he's curious about what's going on. Then taking him to the range.
I know.
Shooting the gun.
There's a lot of parents that teach their kids.
And then improperly storing the gun. How does this kid have access to that firearm?
I don't have a total problem with the gun safety portion of this and teaching your kids gun safety and so forth. Problem I do have, though, is the locking and storage of the gun when it's not in use at the gun range. that part is a problem. But teaching your kids things, I don't have a problem with it. I do have a problem with them knowing that he's having these mental problems and putting it on paper, and you know about it, and you still don't deal with the gun situation. You know, if you know your kid's having the problems, like I said earlier, you the whole gun thing, like, no.
That's absurd.
Yes. No, it is. But gun safety in general, just in general,
yeah.
I don't have a problem with you teaching your children about gun safety and things of that nature. But not having a place to store it, not locking it up, not putting gun locks on things and all that kind of stuff is an issue.
I remember in high school, there was this one kid who, him and his brother were arguing. They got in a fight. He's a younger brother. He was an older brother. He found the gun that was in the house, pointed at his brother and pulled the trigger and killed him. And he's had to live with that for the rest of his life. I don't even think he got any mental health counseling after that. And that's led him down a road that he is finally starting to recover from.
I could only imagine. Man.
So that's the other thing. This kid has mental health issues. Well, he's really got some mental health issues now.
True.
He killed four people, four students.
Yeah, what happens when you're locked up in juvenile hall? I mean, I don't know. I feel like these kids are let off the hook a lot with a lot of things in general, just because I see it at work. And they're given an anger management class, and then they're cleared off, and that's that. But they keep doing. Bullying is a big deal in school. That continues to be a big deal. I think that's always going to be there. There was bullies in school when I went to school. They don't care. I don't know.
I think that's why when Chris said it's going to set a precedence, I really believe it. You know, are they trying to decrease the population of prisons and take people out? With this, you might want to get ready for populating them prisons again. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm thinking on it on the level of kids bringing stuff to school. You give a kid the stuff. Mm-hmm. The kid dies. Now, all of a sudden, they trace it back to the parents. Did you know your kid had it? Oh, your kid's selling it for you. So now, not only is the kid going down, parents got to go down. Got to populate them somewhere. Got to put them somewhere. So now we're talking about the population going up. And a lot of it could be deterred if we properly discipline the kids, as well as letting parents know these are the proper rules. It seems like today, parents just do what they want to do, and so do kids. Yeah. They do what they want. So bullying was around when we were all in school, but there were some consequences. Suspension. Now they're taking suspensions away, and now you're wondering, what is your recourse? You're trying to come up with an intervention program. What is the intervention program going to do? You need to look at what deters you at least from doing those things. No one can go into a kid's house and you know, determine what goes in there. But when you're talking about out in a public venue that houses and teaches a whole lot of people, we got to do our best to protect everybody on that campus.
Right. And if a kid brings a gun to school, I'm thinking, where did you get the gun? And how did you have access to the gun? And where are your parents? And then come to find out that it's his parents' gun, whoever's gun it is, they are responsible. They should be held responsible for whatever happens. That gun in his possession. It's crazy, man.
It is.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. All right, we're going to switch gears here and talk about Mr. Matt Barnes. Former NBA player Matt Barnes found himself embroiled in some controversy 2 weeks ago following an apparent altercation with referees and a student broadcaster at his son's basketball game. The Los Angeles Times reported that Barnes engaged student announcer Jake Lancer during the school's live stream broadcast of a game between Crespi Carmelite and Harvard Westlake. A video posted on social media showed Barnes approaching the student announcer, Jake Lancer, after his son, who plays for Crespi, was whistled for a technical foul. Footage shows Barnes putting his hand on Lancer's shoulder during what looked like a heated exchange before the adults intervened. Barn allegedly threatened to slap Jake Lancer. During the game, Matt Barnes was observed berating and cursing at the referees. He even got called for a technical foul. You in the stands, you get called for a technical foul. My question is, was he out of line? Was he invoking his NBA celebrity? Should he have been arrested and charged? He should have been asked to leave the gym. And then what example was he setting for his kids? And I'm going to throw this to Jeff, because we know a referee, Mr. Al Jury. What would Al Jury would have done if this would have happened while he's reffing a game, Jeff?
Mr. Barnes, no matter what status, is going out the door. And he's going to make sure that, and he won't be fearful about it. That's the one thing he would have did. Man, just addressing.
What else would he have done? Al Jury would have stopped that game.
He would have stopped that game right away.
And what?
And removed him. He would not have played. And that's some points I'm going to go into real quick.
Go ahead.
Number one, it's been known, widely known in our area, that a lot of the veteran officials will not show up for games now because parents are out of control, and that schools aren't taking the proper stance with removing parents from the games. That's why they having a loss of referees that are moving to different areas where they know that's not tolerated. And in a case like, when I think about Harvest Westlake, in a case of a school such as that, a prestigious school who should have had security on campus and also seeing that there are other parents that act out just as much as Matt Barnes, should have at that time removed. Now, video footage I saw and then the things that was reported was that Matt Barnes was out on the floor saying certain things, but that the announcer turned to him and said something back to him like, you need to get back in the stands, and use a feminine curse word towards Matt Barnes, which is why he then walked over, put his hands on him, and I guess said something to him about what he said to him. And then it was at that time he turned back and told him, "Won't you get yourself back in the stands?" And then he said, "I'll slap the you know what out of you." So then that got seen. You can see him in the video then leave, because some people were coming down and you can hear fans yelling. And then he goes back towards his seat, but he keeps yelling. In this case right there, Matt Barnes is really, he's really has to check himself, because he knows that he's going to be put in the limelight, especially at a school like Harvest Westlake, where he was throwing out the mindset that we're not going to be, you know, bullied by you so-called people that think y'all got money. You know what I mean? But he knows it. And the one thing about Matt Barnes is he's a very articulate individual. He's very accomplished in his sports casting and how he does things. He does know that he's going to be on the limelight and they're going to take things, twist things and stuff like that. I've been seeing that for year after year. It's been going on since I was a kid. Some parents, I think me and you, Chris, can talk about when we were coaching baseball and one of our kids, our coach had to remove a kid's father from the field. And, you know, fortunately we was able to keep the kid, but you can just imagine what that kid went through, because this situation was totally different than like Matt Barnes, but it's on the same trajectory. It's a lot that's going on right now. And I think a lot of parents are living through their kids. I think they don't know how to allow kids to play the game and allow coaches to coach the game. So now we got this thing. They can pull up probably thousands of videos right now of just this school year, and it's all over the country where that this is going on. So to singly put that out, yes, Barnes need to kind of, you know, check himself on that, because he knows that it could go awry like that. Parents are getting so caught up that they're forgetting what it looks like to their kid, and then how it hurts their kid when you have parents that act that way. Because then recruiters look and wonder if I'm going to have that issue with that parent, if I have that kid. And now with the NIL, which makes it even more difficult with kids being signed, because there's going to be all this other stuff coming with it, where parents are out of control. Are you going to try to hold me hostage as a, mm-hmm. all these things can come into play with your kid. And so that's my kind of my red flag for him to do that. You never know how people are going to look at that.
And when you're recruiting the kid,
you're recruiting the parent. You're
recruiting the parents.
I feel bad because I like Matt Barnes. I think he mm-hmm. brings so much to the sports casting, you know, thing because he lived it. He knows what it's like to be 16 years in the NBA. Ain't never been really the star, but an integral part of the teams that he's been on. I was just struck by that. If you were to tell me I was surprised, no.
What about a behavior contract? Remember, isn't that commonplace with parents and sports now, especially at the high school level?
I know kids are given an athletic handbook that explains all
by
the do's
CIF,
and don'ts.
Right?
Well, I think each individual district does it now.
And I think
CIF? And then you have a CIF, you know, thing, bylaws and yeah. things that go into effect. But I think what didn't happen between us in this room, I think that they don't like to enforce it. I think they're worried about enforcing it because they're worried that they're going to either get sued or they're going to have all these different things. But if you have something that is signed by the parent that states all these different things that should go on and they don't deal with it, I think you need to levy whatever punishment that you need to in accordance to what you have on that rule book.
In my opinion, the game should have been stopped. He should have been escorted out of the gym. And once he's escorted out of the gym, the game would have resumed. He's berating the referees. He's cursing at the referees. He's being disrespectful to the referees based on the calls that they're making. He should have been escorted from the gym. Santana?
Embarrassing. I can only imagine how his sons felt. Like, you know, dad's over here yelling at people and stuff. How embarrassing. Those other kids are never going to forget what happened. You know, it stays on your mind. Everybody in the whole place that's watching. It's just so embarrassing for kids, I think, when parents act a fool. And, you know, like you were saying, like Matt Barnes is just one person. Regular folks do this kind of stuff.
And worse.
Yes. I have seen so many videos in the past of parents acting crazy at a baseball game that their son or daughter or whoever's playing, and they're out there causing all kinds of problems. And I could only imagine as a child how they would feel seeing their parents acting that way. And then I'm with you. You know what? You need to get escorted out and resume. And that's it. You're done. Out. Bye-bye.
And they're letting it go too long. It went on. Yeah. Like you said, he should have, as soon as that go down, you're being talked to by who's ever the minister at that school. Mm-hmm. We're asking. And they usually say the CIF code. And that is that we will not berate the parent. We will not berate the referees, yeah. the officials, people in the stands because of the ruling involving the sportsmanship of these students. Soon as that went down, someone should have went right to him instead.
As soon as he got the tech, he should have been gone.
And he should have been gone.
That's crazy.
But if they didn't went to him,
you get a technical foul.
Right. You're not even on the team. Like, what?
And the thing about it, Matt knows better from this sense, too. Oh, he should have been. I know emotions get, he was an emotional player, very good player. But let Coach Fisher get that technical.
Right.
If I think it's out of control, I'm the coach. I see people taking it completely out of the coach's hands. When we're trying to set examples for the kids as well as protect our kids, if we think something's not right, let him handle that. You watch your boys. You put them there so they got to be in good hands.
Now, he allegedly put his hands on that student announcer. What do you think about that? Even though he put his hands on his shoulder, you don't put your hands on a child, on a minor. You don't put your hands on a minor under any circumstances.
You should have never.
Unless, even if you casually put your hand on that kid's shoulder, that was wrong to do so.
Yeah, you need to keep your hands to yourself. He would have, you know, if somebody had touched one of his sons.
Oh, my God.
Do you know what would have happened?
Oh, my God.
It doesn't matter that it was just a, oh, hey.
He would have got all that smoke.
Heck yeah.
And I think, you know, and it gets, you guys are absolutely right. And I agree wholeheartedly. Matt should have been dealt with, should have been removed from the game. If I'm Harvest Westlake and I heard that that's what that announcer said, I'm dealing with him too.
Right, Right.
Because Matt Barnes shouldn't have put his hands on, because you know the next thing is they're probably going to be him saying he put his hands on me. I felt threatened. So now there's going to be some type of lawsuit.
Right.
But I'm also, as the Harvard's Westlake, I'm talking to that announcer and said, number one, your job is to announce. Your job is not to talk to any parent in the stands about what you see or hear them doing. Your job is to announce. So when you left, when you went off the announcing thing to go over there and say something to him, you're almost like invoking the same situation,
right?
Which could have went worse,
right?
So
and they've kind of downplayed that. We haven't heard too much about
that. That's what I'm saying.
That part.
And they got it recorded.
Mr. Jake Lancer's responsibility.
Yes, they got it written that he said something and they put it in parentheses mm-hmm. of a female origin.
Right.
So you know that evoked Matt. Yeah. I know it did.
Yeah.
Whether it's right, wrong, or right, I know it evoked it. But he should be dealt with. Yeah. But Matt should have been told right. when they heard it. But I bet the reason why they didn't do it was because there was other parents doing the same thing.
I'm pretty sure there was.
And which means you're going to have to let a whole lot of people.
Yes.
And or it goes to the announce booth. I'll pick it up. Jeff, I'm letting you know.
Jeff, we've been in them hostile gyms, bro.
Yes, we have.
We know how that goes. The stuff that's been said on both ends, from both sides. We've been in those.
Oh, yeah.
We know that it goes crazy. It gets nuts. And once kids hear it, they want to go in the stands and fight the parents that said all those derogatory things toward their parents.
Been there, done it.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But I definitely feel he should have been asked to leave the gym. That was unnecessary for him to remain in that gym after you got a technical foul.
And I mean, this is
rating the ref.
It goes so crazy because we're talking about it now. But the game that you weren't able to be at, that we was in the quarterfinals.
Is that Mission V?
Mission
right?
V.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I'm sitting there and I got grown adults throwing like little stuff at my bench.
Mission Viejo High School.
I got stuff being thrown at my bench. And I'm going, wait a minute, what's going on here? These are adults. They wasn't kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard them saying stuff to my kids. Take that jersey and burn it and this and that. And these were adults. And then I had the guy at the table. It was so much craziness. He's over there telling my little stack girl to trying to get her to do things that was wrong on the book and trying to like throw her off. And I had to go and straighten it. I had to. Now, anytime you talk about reaction where you got to keep yourself in control, man, it was only by God's grace I kept myself in control because my kids were getting dealt with and I wasn't happy. And then I had coaches on the bench that wasn't happy. So it's like, I got to protect my kids. But I called an administrator down. I said, look, this is what's going on. You need to, I had the referees come over. I said, I know what the jurisdiction means. You need to take that guy off that book. If he's not going to be neutral on that book, he needs to be taken off. So that's number one. Number two, you need to address this crowd that there will not be another thing thrown at my kids again, or we will walk out of this game.
Right.
And
what
which
were they throwing? Because I've heard of stories where they were throwing tortillas.
Oh, at they be throwing little peas like you put like the BB guns, but not them, but the plastic ones. So now my kids got to be getting hit, you know, and they're looking around, you know, and I'm like, no. And I saw my coaches picking them off the ground. And I'm like, no. So they had to make an announcement. You know what I mean? And so
it's crazy.
It's been going on forever. And I'm sure there were parents that were still in that game saying stuff as well. Because I tell you what, I look back at another thing where Robert Ory's kid was playing at Harvest Westlake last year. And him and other parents from Harvest Westlake were saying stuff to the referee. So now Matt Barnes gets it, and it's only because I think he went over and put his hands. If he hadn't put his hands on there, I don't know what would have happened, but it was a big game between Crespi and Harvest Westlake because they're number one, and I think, in California.
Right, and Harvest Westlake ended up winning that game, too. Needs to hold himself at a higher standard. Valentine's Day.
Ooh.
Yay. Just kidding.
Valentine's Day is in a few days. Overhyped, overrated. What's its meaning? Do you participate? I think it's one of the worst holidays of the year for me, man. I think a lot of relationships will start on Valentine's Day, and a lot of them will end on Valentine's Day. I think it's overhyped. I think it's overrated. Don't participate. I can't say I've never participated, but lately I don't participate in that mess. What's its meaning? I don't even know. It's supposed to be a day for lovers.
I don't think its original meaning was anything good. I don't remember. I had heard about it, but I can't remember to sit here and tell you guys what the actual meaning started out to be. But I want to say it was something that wasn't about love necessarily.
You're on the right track.
Yeah.
Jeff can break it down for you a little bit today. Jeff will break it down.
But I will be on the record as saying that I haven't been a active participator in Valentine's Day in quite some time. I feel like it is very over the top, ridiculously expensive. I just don't really care about it. To me, if you love me, then you need to love me every day.
Exactly. What about you, Jeff?
And I think...
Do you participate?
I have participated. Okay, all right. Only because... Because
you know you get whoops upside the head. Your wife, you don't. Your wife,
no, actually, you know...
Pounding you upside the head. What are my flowers? What are my candy?
But you know, when you've been together as long as we have, it is what it is.
You know Valentine's what I mean? Day should be every day for y'all.
You know, it should be every day. Just like Mother's Day should be every day. Every just day, like Father's Day. Day
should be every day. Yes.
Every day. And I think what happened is now all those things have become commercialized when you see... so many, like you said, Chris, the relationships, they falter or they start, but they ain't really went through anything to see if the relationship is going to stay together. But going back to what you were saying, it started out as Saint Valentine's, which was in the Roman culture, almost like how they, you know, dealt with like false gods. It was about some sexual stuff that then the church at the time departed from it. Because they knew it was kind of dark. And so it continued because if people understand Roman literature and all the things that went on, certain things just still started to manifest. So they say in America, it started in the early 1700s. It was kind of like handmade Valentines that they did. It wasn't until 1840 that a person named Esther A. Howard began selling first mass produced Valentines in America. So it started out kind of dark, but then the church wanted to make it more about love than what it was propagandized as and Saint Valentine's. It was more dark here, but the church was trying to make it more about love, and that's where it started to have its effect. But for me, I think it's just gotten commercialized. People just making money off of it. I mean, it's just...
They make a lot of money.
Yeah, it's just another way to make money. And then they try to put the little Cupid part in there. And you know what I mean? But I just tell people, just like, you know, the topics, research your stuff. Just don't believe it. I mean, we just grew up about Valentine's. But then when you start kind of like, okay, where did this really start? And what was it reasoning behind?
Because as kids, what do we used to do on Valentine's Day?
Get that candy with the little hearts and give it to the little girls.
Yeah, cards.
Buy a box of Valentine's and you have to write all your
classmates. Oh, and let's go deeper. Let's think about what was being said on those little hearts. And it would start when you was younger. I'm a kindergartner giving another girl a thing and it says, kiss me on it. Let's go deep. Because gotta think about this origin. Mm-hmm. Said it could be considered dark. So if you're getting little kids to do that, kiss me. What is a kid? You're messing with kids' minds. Adults would know what that means.
Be my Valentine as a kid?
Yes. And you're giving it in candy. Make it sweet. I give kid. It's all messing with your head. And that's why I say they got commercialized. Love is different than being commercialized. And that's why relationships can start, relationships can end. And the crazy thing is, some people's relationships are ending on Valentine's
Day. Yes, they are.
The requirements that, as they say, the modern woman.
Yes, modern woman.
I'm not a modern woman. Oh, I'm God. Not. Don't put me out there like that because I don't have those kind of requirements. Mine are a lot different than, you know, you need to be making this amount of money every year and you can't take me to the Cheesecake Factory. I mean, damn that. You're taking me to the Cheesecake Factory. I'm perfectly content with that. There's nothing wrong with cheesecake.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that.
I'm just saying, Red Lobster, whatever. Like, what is wrong with that? I don't know when that became a problem. If you're being taken to McDonald's, I don't know. What kind of date are you expecting, right? But this is the modern woman, right? So they're expecting some, I don't know, tons of roses everywhere and all of that kind of stuff. All this candy, all this fancy dinner and all, yeah.
They're expecting to be acknowledged.
They're expecting a whole lot.
On that day.
I don't care
that
about it.
I'm yours.
I should be feeling special every day.
You're mine.
Like we should be appreciating exactly. one another all the time.
Because think about the rose.
He didn't even give me nothing for Valentine's Day.
Exactly.
Oh my God, throw that up in his face.
And think about the rose. How many days is it going to survive? Mm. But can your love survive more than that rose?
Hey.
Man, what you talking about? Yeah.
Right? That's, you know, motherhood survives every day.
True.
Right? It doesn't stop. As soon as you become a mother, it's to the end.
You know what? I'd probably be Valentining my children versus a man. That's just me, though. Because my right. love for my children is unconditional. I love my kids. So that's right. not, that's a forever thing for me. But, you know, and I want to say that when my kids were little, I gave them, you know, little Valentine candy stuff, you know, and I probably will do that with my grandkids just because. Yeah. But you know, I'm not going to get all crazy with the whole, you better get me this and I need to have that and I better get roses.
You should see the stuff that be flowing at the school.
Ooh, I can imagine.
I can only imagine what that looks like.
They carrying boxes with wow. stuff. I'm like, how are you going to take that to the classroom with the balloon is like 10 feet high?
Wow.
And you're carrying it all the way around.
They figure it out.
And they figure it out.
They don't care. Look at everybody. They want everybody at the school to see. I got this. This is what I have. Look at my box. Look at my balloons.
And I think it said what you said, Chris, is I want to be acknowledged because it's a deeper issue. Kids want to be acknowledged because they don't feel acknowledged.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's the issue. That's the reason why someone wants someone to give them something so they can feel pretty or they can feel like they're significant. That's a deeper issue. You know what I mean? And so for me, I see it on that level. And my thing is Valentine's to me is another day I can appreciate the wife that I have. And I ain't had to need no candy.
It's another day.
You know,
it's another day. You should be appreciating her all the time
all
and letting
the time.
Her know that. And that's just the bottom line. So yeah, overhyped, definitely.
And we ain't the ones making that money.
True. True. This is very true.
We ain't making hearts with candies and stuff. We don't get to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I used to participate.
There's gonna be some domestic violence going on that day, man. Why did you see that? There's gonna be some stuff going on. Some people are gonna get arrested that day.
You know what? I will report all that to you.
Or candy.
I'll find out what kind of stuff happened.
We had
somebody's gonna get a gun pulled on them.
Look, you and you talking about domestic violence. Let me be real with you. There was some kids. Some gave another person some Valentine's and it caused a fight.
What? I believe it. It's going to be a lot of fights that day too.
Because mm-hmm. someone gave it to somebody else's mm-hmm. person and they like that person wow. and now they mad and now we got issues. There's arguing. There's this and that. These are high school kids. Really?
Mm-mm-mm. What happened to the good old days? I remember in elementary school, we would actually get construction paper and make a heart out of it with a little pocket in the front, right? And you would buy Valentine cards for the entire class and stick them in everybody's thing. And it was, everybody was happy. Everybody got some. And your teacher probably had a little Valentine party. So you brought cupcakes or whatever and cookies and some punch. And everybody just sat there and enjoyed themselves. And that's it. It was a universal thing. Everybody got some. It wasn't just like what you're just talking about. Oh, so-and-so gave you a Valentine, huh? Oh, you got something going on with so-and-so?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I thought he liked me.
Uh-huh. There you go.
So now we got, that don't sound like school to me.
Nope. But the schools allow.
And I ain't going to tell you, I had to counsel some young ladies that was crying.
What?
That's so sad. That is sad. And that's
what don't get told.
That's sad. That really is.
They need to eliminate Valentine's Day altogether.
It's causing problems. It's
overhyped, overrated.
Where's the self-love? There's none.
That's a good point.
I'm just saying, you know, these are things that you have to ingrain in your children when they're young about loving themselves, and nobody does that. And I feel like that. I just watched that movie, The Help, again. I've watched it, I don't know how many times, but she's like, you is strong, you is smart. You know what I mean? When she's telling that little girl all of that, self-affirmations.
Yes.
I think it's so important that you should do that for your kids so they don't feel like a Valentine is going to make or break them later on in life.
Yeah.
And that's just Valentine's Day. That's not just regular life, right? But Valentine's Day in particular, you had to counsel some young ladies in high school who are upset about Valentine's.
Because you can tell, we just had a professional development where a guy came in. He's got some books online. And he talked about, and this guy was a gangster in Mississippi and turned his life around. He's a doctor, wrote 4 books on how to motivate kids and teachers, talking about how teachers are very important. But it changed him by a lady in sixth grade saying he was amazing every day.
And that's something.
And that stuck, that he still talks about that at 39 years old right now.
Wow.
I saw some teacher at some school. It's an elementary school where he or she, I can't remember now, where they would greet each student with something right when they're walking in the door and high five them or whatever. And I thought that was really cool to do. But, you know, that's teachers, right? You don't have a lot of those out there.
Valentine's Day, overhyped, overrated.
Listen, but if somebody wants to give me some Ferrero Rocher candies just because.
You'll take it.
I will take it.
And if you want to share those chocolates with your brother over here, you go right ahead.
Right? Yeah. I saw a big giant one at CVS. I mean, that thing was huge. I was like, oh my God, I might be your Valentine. I'm just saying, go ahead. You could, you know, bring it on in.
We want to thank you for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate your thoughts and feedback. For any comments or questions, you can reach out to us at walkingwithpurposepodcast@gmail.com. Here's the lovely Santana with today's words of wisdom.
We could spend our whole lives waiting for someone to apologize or take responsibility for how they hurt us before we decide to let go. But the problem with that scenario is we've made someone else in charge of how and when we heal. If we truly want to break a cycle and heal, we have to forget about what the other person is or isn't doing and focus entirely on our own process.
If you won't stand with me, if you won't go with me, I'm gonna go on.